Welcome everybody. I wanted to do a teaching, a live stream of teaching outside. We're on our way to Omimi right now. Today's Monday, and it's beautiful out here. Get to show the snow a little bit. Those are our friends in Africa. Okay, over here. So I want to do a teaching, but by the time we're going to get there, it's going to be a little bit dark. It's getting cloudy out. It was nice and sunny this afternoon, so I wanted to do a teaching outside of where we go at Omimi, in Omimi. It's got a nice little building. It's an older building. It's got a lot of, it's got some history to it, and it's got some neat stuff outside, so we're going to wait the summer. We should be back out there this summer, and then we'll do a teaching outside. But I want to teach, I just want to share a little bit some of the things that I was talking about on the way out here, because a lot of times, if I'm not praying in tongues, I just share some of the things that I've learned over the years concerning the ministry and the calling and all that. And of course, you know, talking about preachers and not politicians. I try to stay away from that, even though there's lots to talk about that. But talking about preachers. And preachers that, well, I had this experience a few years ago that really confirmed something I already knew, which I'd share with other people. It's like, you know, just because they've got one thing right in their teaching doesn't mean everything else they teach is right. Meaning, you can say the right thing, and even within the same breath or the same sentence or within the same 5-10 minutes, you can go from right into wrong, truth into error. I've seen it many times, many times. So here I am one night. I just got home from a prayer meeting. I got home like at 3 a.m. and I was getting these tapes from this preacher that God had brought into my life back into, let's say, 2007, 2008, 2009, even 2010. I started listening to this guy. Great teacher. Really, really, really good. I mean, solid, okay? I'm talking about solid. And I went to pick up this tape series that I had bought, I ordered, and I went to listen to it. The minute I picked up that, as a 3-tape series, the minute I picked it up to listen to one of the tapes, I got this huge check in my gut. I don't know if it was in my spirit or my soul or both, but I got this huge check. In other words, don't listen to it. So I didn't. I did listen to it. I did later on. And then I knew then why God stopped me from listening to that series, because God was teaching me something about provision. He's getting me free from wrong doctrine. And I found out later on that series that this guy made, it was an older series. And in reality, he wasn't teaching that anymore. But he should have stopped selling that series, because he was actually teaching opposite of what that series taught, which he taught years beforehand. And this is what a lot of believers don't understand. Even older believers. I know believers have been saved for, I'm going to be saved for 26 years coming up this summer. And I tell you, I know believers have been saved twice as long as I have, and they have no discernment whatsoever. Well, I know why. Because they don't know anything about inoculating themselves against deception. So the gist of what I want to share right now, we just did a live stream, and I just want to kind of repeat myself. Just because you're listening to a good preacher, it doesn't mean everything he's saying is true. Does that help? It doesn't mean everything he says is true. And like I just said beforehand, he could say something that is true, and then he goes right into saying something that is not true. And if you don't have that discernment built on the inside of you, you'll never pick it up. And you'll think everything he said was true. Yet the whole time, part of what he said was true, and the other part was false. And that's what God wants to set us free from. Now, for me and my message, which is his message, 5 keys, inoculation against deception, all that, is to get so free from the old man so that we can walk in the new man. Because in the new man, there's no falsehood. There's no going from truth to error or from error into truth. I even heard preachers say something that was wrong, and then they said something right away after in the same breath that was true. Just got to watch the cars behind me here. We're almost here. Just put the show a little bit here. Oh, we can get the old Mimi building in there. We should have done that. When we got there. Anyhow, so this is the thing, and I've tried to share this with people before. You know, you've got to know the word, and I don't mean just the Bible. You got to know the word himself. And the only way you're going to get to know the word is by spending a lot of time in the word. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth. Get a picture of this right here. Cannons and stuff. In the building. A little bit in the building. Okay, get the car out of the way there. Don't get that part out. Okay, back over to me. And the way you're going to get totally free from a lack of discernment, the way you're going to get totally free from believing errors, half-truths, three-quarter truths, is by putting on this new man. Because we know who the new man is. It's Christ. And the Bible says in Galatians 4:19, Christ be formed in you. The new man has to be formed in you. That's just the way it is. And that's the key to walking in the fullness of your sonship. Especially, now I don't believe in pew sitting. I don't believe in, the church is full of pew sitters. I don't believe in pew sitting. Not when you read the Bible. You know, Jesus never said, go and sit in some pew somewhere. No, he said, go and preach the gospel. Now you need to be equipped for that before you can go and preach the gospel. But the key to walking, not only in walking in discernment over regarding truth versus error, but the key to walking in being an accurate teacher or an accurate minister of the gospel is by putting on this new man. There's just no other way about it. Every other way, you will fail miserably. You will totally fail miserably regarding when it comes to truth and teaching, even sharing, even whether it's a Bible study at work. I've taught things at work years ago that I wish I had never taught. I didn't know any better. I just listened to preachers on TV and I thought it was true. And then I found out quite a few years later that a lot of these things were not true. And these are some of the things that I shared with the guys at work. Well, you know, people say, well, you know, well, to God, that's unacceptable. It's just unacceptable. So, like I said, the key, it's like praying in tongues. I read a post the other day on Facebook. Praying in tongues at least 15 minutes a day. 15 minutes a day, even 2 hours a day still won't get you nowhere. It won't get you nowhere. It's like sowing the word, speaking God's word. An hour a day, you know what? Really? You'll get nowhere with that. Because the Bible even talks about meditating the word day and night. You know? Because we're continually, constantly, habitually being bombarded with error in the world, obviously. And circumstances, you know, the sight affecting your eyes, affecting your ears, affecting your mind. That's why you've got to spend enough time in the Word to the place where the Word will overtake everything else inside of you. And that's what we're talking about a little bit on the way up here concerning strongholds. You know, it takes, you know, we all have different strongholds. We all have degrees of strongholds, but strongholds are strongholds. Whether it's a stronghold of pornography or a stronghold of unbelief or a stronghold of wrong believing, a stronghold is a stronghold. It's got a strong hold on you, on what part of you? Your soul. And that stronghold has to be pulled down. Okay? So I want to thank you for your time and walk in the fullness of the grace of God. Amen. First of all, this is a missionary enterprise, so obviously we're doing a little bit of recording tonight, as usual. Those who know us, David and I, and this is under Mission Enterprise, Missionary Aid International. This is under actually our playlist, Operation Outreach, and of course, if you went to the YouTube channel, I have a whole playlist for Omimi. Just Omimi, all the recordings, all the teaching I've done here, except maybe for one, it's all on there. So I've been for quite a couple of years now.
Yeah.
Almost 3 years, I think. Mm-hmm. I've been coming here almost every 3 months. So here we have Omimi Christian Outreach. Of course, social media, live streaming, Facebook, YouTube, and so much more, Twitter, LinkedIn. So welcome everybody here. Welcome to those who are watching us, especially, what time is it? 7 o'clock. So Africa, it's about 1 o'clock in the morning, so they're not gonna be watching. I'll go to Pakistan, India. I have a lot of contacts there, so they're just getting up right now. And they love my teachings and different things like that, so I'm grateful for that. So before we get into this tonight, if this fits right in with what I'll be teaching tonight, Harry shared with me a few things when we got here early on, shared a few things, a couple testimonies, right? So the first one I want you to share, the brother Gary, just really quick, get closer here, look into there,
okay?
All right, and I want you to share a little bit about Gary, okay? It's Gary, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
The guy who had prostate?
Yes.
And was it serious? Like, was it getting serious or it was just prostate? I don't know nothing about prostate cancer.
Very, very serious.
It was very serious. Yeah. So last time I was here, you're the one who said that. I didn't say this, right? You're the one who brought it up, right? So last time he was here, but you guys prayed for him though too, right? Before that, I think?
Sure.
Yeah. I think so, right? Yeah, so whatever. Like you said, it's God, right?
Yeah.
But it's good to know that God uses your faith.
Yes.
Because he does use, if somebody don't have faith, then he can't use your faith if you got no faith for God to use, right? And we believe in God using our faith, right?
Right.
How many times did Jesus, we're gonna look at this a little bit tonight. We're gonna look at faith a little bit from a different angle tonight. But you did share about Gary, and I don't know Gary very well, but I mentioned the guy who made the muffins with the veggies in it.
Yes.
So that's Gary.
Yes.
And last time I was here, he had to leave because of the prostate.
Yes.
And he said, could you pray for me? That's what he said to me. And I said, well, let's get Harry over here. And he said, no, you just pray for me. He said, I think he said that they already prayed for me. I think that's what he told me. So anyhow, I didn't pray for him. He may think I prayed for him, but I spoke the word over him. Okay, so I saw a picture of you out in no man's land.
Florida,
right, okay,
yeah.
Right? And but you were working, right?
Yeah.
So, but you were there with Gary.
Yes.
Right? So tell me a little bit what happened from there. I mean, what happened because of why he was there and not in some hospital or some morgue.
Yeah. Anyways, Gary and Joe have been coming here for a while, and they have a house down in Florida.
And a house over here, obviously, too,
yes,
right?
Okay, just south of Daytona Beach there. Yeah. And we had planned in the fall time to put a new steel roof on their house. And but then Gary got this, he went to the doctor, he wasn't feeling so good, he wasn't able to pee. And they checked him out, and they said his prostate cancer was very bad. They gave him a scale from 1 to 10. He was a 9.
Ooh.
So they didn't give him too much hope.
No.
And so he was quite set back, and he wasn't going to put a new roof on the house. He was even thinking about selling the house in Florida.
Yeah.
And then he came to the outreach, and
he's been coming here for quite a few years, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because I met him a few months even before that, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, you know him real well. I don't know him, so.
So then we prayed for him. Pierre prayed for him, and he's been doing a lot of stuff and a lot of praying, and things have been working quite well. So he actually came back a few weeks ago because he had this specialist, he had an appointment with him, and they were expecting him to come in a wheelchair, I think, and expecting him hardly be alive. But he, as you've seen, he was here, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago? And he was just in the best mood possible.
Yeah.
And the doctors just couldn't believe, they were speechless. And,
yeah.
Why he wasn't.
And what did he tell you? What did Gary tell you that you told me? Things changed
Oh, yeah.
Thing.
When he came to the outreach here, and he says, when we all prayed for him, he says, he noticed things changed from there on.
Yeah. That's right. So that's a number one testimony. Yeah. So I want you to share the other testimony about the brother. What was his condition again?
And
then he got into the Word for 6 months.
The other testimony was at my church at the Apsley Community Chapel last Sunday. Pastor John Trotter was speaking, and he was speaking about his father. Mm-hmm. And years ago, his father, he got very sick, and he also couldn't pee, and then he went to the doctors.
Was that a prostate too with him?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
And they said his prostate cancer was so bad, they couldn't do nothing for him. So they just said, you go home and die. You maybe have a few weeks left.
Yeah.
And Ward Trotter was a man of faith.
Right.
He was a good man of faith.
Yeah.
And he refused to do that. Mm-hmm. So he got as many healing scriptures in the Bible as he could possibly.
Yeah.
And he would read them every day. And most of the time, he couldn't even walk. He would crawl mm-hmm. near the stove and just lie near the
stove.
Because of the pain.
Yeah.
And he lost over 100 pounds in a couple weeks' time.
Wow.
And it was looking pretty bad. But anybody that come along, they said, how is he doing? He'd always say, I'm doing fine.
Yeah.
And he'd always say that I'm healed.
That's the way faith talks. See? Yeah. Call those things that be not as though they were. Romans 4:17.
So he kept this up for 6 months.
6 months.
If you can believe it, you know.
Not 1 day, 2 days, 3 days.
Six months. He woke up one morning.
Yeah.
And then he says, I'm healed.
Yeah, it's healed.
And he said he went up and he said he peed and he peed and he peed and he peed. He said just kept on peeing, and he said, and he was totally healed.
For those who don't know what pee means, it means to urinate, okay? All right.
He said, and then he lived over 20 years past that point.
Yeah.
Cancer free.
Yeah.
So
this happened quite a few years ago, obviously.
Yes.
The 6 months things and all that.
Yes.
Because he lived for another 20 years.
Yes.
So he's gone now, or he's still around?
He's passed on.
Oh, he's passed on. So this was quite a few years. But the key to all of this, what he just said, was the 6 months. See?
Well. Yeah.
So that's the whole part of what I've been teaching when I come here, not just here, but anyhow. Concerning sowing the word. That's what he did.
Yes.
He sowed the word. He took the time to sow the word every day. It took him 6 months to get the full harvest of the word inside of him concerning healing verses, right?
Yes.
And then God performed what he believed.
Yes.
That's for all of us.
Yes.
So that's a great testimony. Mm-hmm. Okay. So last one before, just share a little bit what you prayed before we got started here tonight. Mark 11.
Oh, about
Mark 11, 22, 23, 24.
Yes.
Yeah.
Want me to expand on it?
Well, do you know by her?
Yeah.
Have the faith of God. Jesus said, have faith in God.
Faith.
And then, you want me to go to the...
Sure. Okay. I just wanted to expand on it, saying that it says to the mountain, if you talk to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. We have said...
And does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's verse 23.
And we have a lot of mountains in our life. Some of them are health related, cancer. Mm-hmm. Some of them are poverty, mm-hmm. finances. Some of them are relationships.
Sin.
We have a lot of mountains in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And if we pray and believe, they will be removed.
That's right. Because ultimately, they were removed at the cross.
Yeah.
See, we have to line up with what Jesus did at the cross for us. That's why I encourage people. I'll be touching on this a little bit tonight. Not so much, because tonight it'll be on faith and hope. What the Word says about faith and hope. I've never taught on hope here before. I've taught on faith. I've taught on grace. But the thing is, though, this is where I missed it for 13 years. I basically came to the place where I rejected a lot of things that they teach in the Word of Faith camp. Now, I don't adhere to what we have in the Word of Faith camp today. I don't totally adhere to it, but they do have some good things to teach. But the thing is, with most believers, they come in agreement. See, the brother for 6 months, he didn't come in. Now, he knew what was going on in his body. He could feel it, you know? But he didn't come in agreement with that. He came in agreement with the Word, right? Now, a lot of people, and he had pain in his body.
Yes.
I know what that's like, that pain in my body. I know where I don't even sleep. I can't even sleep because of so much pain. And that makes it harder to speak the word
mm-hmm.
because the pain is so real, you know? The pain is talking to you.
Yeah.
You know? So, but this is where a lot of believers are missing it, that where they come in agreement with the pain, they come in agreement with their circumstances instead of coming in agreement with the Word. Because the pain is more real than the Word. Yeah. It is.
Yes.
Let's just be honest. Okay? It's more real, but in reality, the Word is more real than the pain. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah.
But the problem is that we don't believe the Word. See?
Yeah.
I was sharing this with David on the way here. I said most of us, well, all of us, we're surrounded by the things of the fall of man.
We talk too much about our circumstances.
We talk way too much about our circumstances.
Not enough about our solutions.
And not about the solutions, exactly. Thank you very much. Okay? So that's what we're going to look at a little bit tonight. I'm going to keep this short tonight. So I've got Harry up here, because I'm going to have him. I haven't had anybody read scriptures for me in the last couple of times I came here, but I wanted to change that a little bit, so I made some notes for him. And of course, I made the notes for Joy, because I know Joy takes my notes home. So go to the first page. You're not on the first page.
I passed it already.
You already passed it, yeah. Flip it around. Okay, there we go. So key topic tonight is faith and hope. Okay, faith and hope. So I wrote here, tonight I want to put more emphasis on the word hope and not so much on the word faith, because I've taught much on faith here. Okay, I've taught much on faith, but I've never taught on hope. And even I don't have a lot of teachings on hope on my YouTube channel, stuff like that, but that's going to change. So I just want to touch here before I get Harry to read the scriptures. There's two main words in the original language in the Greek New Testament concerning the word hope, all right? And I'm going somewhere with this, because God began to teach me on hope quite a few years ago. And I had no revelation of hope. I didn't even think that the word hope really had any significance to my walk with God, to my walk of faith, but it has everything to do with faith if you get into the word. So the first word, I won't even mention the Greek word here, but it is elpizo or alpizo. It literally means Strong's Concordance 1679. I do these things for the YouTube, because we always put this on our YouTube videos. So literally, the definition to this word hope is to expect, okay? Expect, and the word trust, all right? Those are the two main definitions for the word hope, the English word hope. I wish they had translated the word hope, expectation, and I'm going somewhere with that. The other word is elpis, and literally means also expectation, but also trust and confidence, okay? So every time you come across the word hope in the New Testament, you can translate, you have the right to translate it, expectation or trust and confidence. Okay, we're going to unpack this tonight, okay? So I wrote here, first of all, then we'll get into the verses. Both of these words not only carry the idea of expect or expectation, but also carry the idea of trust and confidence, in which these two last words, trust and confidence, are also found as key definitions for the word faith. Okay? So there, right there, you can start seeing some how synonymous are the word faith and the word hope, or the word expect, all right? I wrote also here, and this is why oftentimes you will also come across the word faith as well as hope in the very same verse or the very same context. Many times, we're going to look at these verses tonight, where you find the word faith, you'll find the word hope, or where you find the word hope, you'll find the word faith, whether it's in the same verse or within the same context, all right? So here I wrote here, the very first time the Lord tried to get this word hope over to me was back in 2004, 2005. It's in my journal, but I don't have time to go look exactly the exact year or the exact month. But regarding Hebrews 11:1, while watching a preacher on television. Now this guy, won't mention his name because I don't believe in everything he teaches, but he does have some good things to teach. But anyhow, he was teaching. I still remember I was downstairs, and he was teaching on expectation. And I had never really heard a lot of teaching on expectation. And he basically said the gist of it was, if you don't expect God to do what he's promised you, then you'll never see it happen. You're not in faith. Now, I had never heard that before, okay? And he'd been teaching on this for a couple weeks. And then this one night where he was teaching on expectation, in my mind right here, God doesn't give me a lot of words up here. Most of the times I get them down here. But this time, I got the words right up here. I got Hebrews 11:1, King James, right up here, not outside, inside of my mind. It's like he etched them there, and I heard these words in my mind, but I saw the words etched in my mind, my imagination. I heard, faith is the substance of things expected, the evidence of things not seen. Now that's a King James, except for the word expectation. But he didn't use the word hope. He used the word expectation. I did a beeline for my Strong's Concordance. I knew the Lord wasn't wrong, but I had never heard of the word hope being expectation. So I did a beeline for my library, and I went straight to my Strong's Concordance. I went to Hebrews 11:1. There's the word hope. I looked it up in the Strong's dictionary part, and there's the word expectation. That's when the Lord began to teach me about expectation. All right? Now, I didn't put this in my notes. Okay, I'm going to say this, and then I got to share this. In order to understand the true nature of faith or godly faith, you will need to understand the true nature of hope or godly hope. Another time, well, God taught me a lot about hope. One of the strongest, besides that experience I had with the Lord, I was sitting on the couch in my parents' living room. My parents were gone for the weekend, and I'm sitting there praying in tongues, and all of a sudden, God began to supernaturally teach me on expectation. And this is how he got it over to me. I order a lot of books from the States. Most of my books come from CBD in the States. And I've got over 6,000 books in my library. And now what he taught me at that moment, it lasted about 10 minutes. I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, it's almost as if I went into another realm. I was still in the living room. And the Lord began to teach me, and he said, when you pick up the phone to order your books, you know by experience that the minute you pick up, you make the order, and then you pay with your credit card, what do you do after that, Pierre? You expect those books to show up and at your front door eventually. You expect them. That's what he said. You expect them. Well, you know how strong, you know how right he was? Because I know the way I am. When I order books, usually, because I've been ordering from CBD for years. I've been ordering them for 20 years now. I'm one of their preferred customers. When I order the books, I expect those books to come in within 4 or 5 days. I expect so strong that when I wake up in the morning, I look outside. I open the door and I see if there's a box of books there. That's how strong expectation is. I expect those books to show up. That's what God showed to me that night. That's what God began to teach me on expectation. That's how powerful expectation is. Okay? So bring that into the Word of God. Bring that into the promises of God. If you don't, first of all, you got to make sure you've got a promise from God. You can't make up your own promises, okay? All right? But even the Word of God, different things like that, but a promise. If you don't expect that promise to come to pass, you know what? It will never come to pass. Because if you don't expect that promise to come to pass, that means you're not in faith. You're not in faith yet. If you don't expect it, and you can maybe convince other people that you have expectation, but you should know in your own heart, you can't fool God. You can't fool God. You can't fool God about anything, you know? But you should know in your own heart whether you've got expectation or not. Expectation is a force. Faith is a force, expectation is a force. Hope is a force. It's a force. It really is. There's a forcefulness to it. I'll tell you, even to this day, when I order books, first thing I do, after within four, I usually write it down the day I ordered it. Usually it comes in within a week. Let's say I ordered it on a Thursday or a Friday. I expect it by Wednesday or Thursday to those that box to show up on my porch. Usually in the morning or early afternoon. And it's so strong that if it's cold out, I usually just look through the little window in my door, or usually I open the screen door and I look to see if the book is there. That's the power of expectation. That's the force of expectation. Okay? That's the way God taught me expectation. All right? Okay. So let's move on here. Key references. Brother, Romans 4:18. This is one of my favorite verses on expectation because of the whole context. We're not going to get into that because I can be here for the next hour and we don't want to do that. So Romans 4:18, read it nice and loud.
For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been promised. So numberless shall your descendants be.
So Abraham, if you know anything about Abraham, Abraham was able to have children. He ended up having he had Ishmael with Hagar, the whole thing. Sarah was barren, right? It says that Abraham came to the place where he was dead, and not dead physically, but he was not able to procreate anymore. And Sarah's womb was dead. That's what it says in the King James, the deadness of Sarah's womb. But it says here, Romans 4:18 says, hope being gone, that's the Amplified, but they catch a Greek of it, the Greek meaning of it, hope in his circumstances being gone. Putting expectation in his natural abilities to procreate, gone. But it goes on saying, he hoped in faith. So there's the word, we got the word expectation, and we've got the word faith, and we know that the word faith also is the word trust. And the word trust is also found in one of the definitions for the word hope. So now we see how closely related the word faith and the word hope are, they work together. All right? So to get the real understanding of this whole Romans 4:18, you got to read from Romans 4:16 all the way to Romans 4:21. We don't have time for that tonight, but it's very interesting concerning the walk of faith. Let's move on to Romans 5:2. Go ahead, brother.
Through him also we have our access, entrance, introduction by faith into this grace, state of God's favor, in which we firmly and safely stand, and let us rejoice and exalt in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God.
So faith and expectation once again. You can't separate faith and expectation. It's a hard lesson for a lot of us. I went through this years ago thinking that I was in faith, where I realized that I was not in faith because I was not expecting. I was not expecting what God had promised me. I was not expecting it. I had to be honest with myself. I am one of those people that is extremely honest because I don't want to delude myself. I don't want to, what does it say in James? It says he deludes himself, a person who deludes himself. He looks into the mirror and then he deludes himself, right? So I don't want to delude myself. I can't fool God, but there's a lot of people out there, they're fooling themselves. You can fool the people around you because they don't know what's in your heart, right? It's easy to say something that's opposite to what's really in your heart. It's called a hypocrite. That's what I call, you know, whatever you want to call it. But there's nothing worse than fooling yourself, okay? To think that you're something that you're not, or that you have something that you don't have, or whatever, okay? We got to get honest with ourselves. So when it comes to faith and expectation, if we don't have faith, let's be honest with ourselves, but let's not stay there. Let's do like the brother who did. What did he do? Doctor said, you know what, go home, die, whatever. But he knew enough, at least he knew enough about faith. What did he do? He got into the Word. 6 months later, he got his healing, lived for 20 years, right?
Yes.
And you know what? I'll tell you something right now. If he hadn't done what he had done, he would have died. Let's just be honest, okay? He would have died. And most Christians would have said, the Lord took him. How many times do you hear that? Somebody dies, especially even when they're young. The Lord took him. The Lord didn't take him. The cancer took him. Actually, the cancer didn't take him. The unbelief, because Jesus already bore the cancer at the cross, right?
Right.
Did Jesus bear the cancer at the cross?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He did. Among many other things, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So why should I bear cancer or anything else, any other disease, if Jesus already did it for me at the cross? Okay? That's part of the good news, right? We believe in good news, right? We don't believe in bad news, do we? No, we have good news, right? Like you said, we focus on the solution, not the problem, right?
Right.
God is the problem solver,
right.
Okay? God don't cause problems. He solves problems. The cross is all about solving problems, right?
Right.
Humanity's problem, man's problems, okay? So anything bad out there, if you think it's God doing that, then you've got the wrong God. It's the God of this world, small g. All right, we got to get that straight once and for all right? Okay, let's move on. Romans, we're still in Romans, chapter 15, verse 13, nice and loud.
May the God of our hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope.
Now this right here, I'll tell you, this, I gotta be honest. I try to be honest when I come, wherever I go, I try to be honest. One of the first things that the Lord dealt with me after I got saved, once I moved back to Oshawa, Ontario from Quebec, The Lord gave me a dream. I shared this before. I think it's fitting to share this a little bit here tonight, is that the Lord gave me that dream where I was in the shower stall. I was on the 401 in the dream. I was naked, but I only see the top part of me. And the cars were driving by me. It was like heavy, a lot of traffic in the 401. And when I woke up, the Lord gave me the word transparent. Be transparent with the people. And I try to be as transparent as I can with people, you know, because it's good to be honest with people. So people can really, you know, a lot of times when you're honest with people, it's like, you know what, I've been there, done that, you know, but I'm no longer there anymore. You know, a lot of times you can encourage a person, because sometimes, that person is in the very same situation where you were years ago. So when you're sharing where you were, but you got out of that, then you're building hope in that person. So they're saying, hey, if that can, you know, if that happened to you, that can happen to me too, right? So that's why we have to share our testimonies. Good testimonies, not bad testimonies. So here it says here, the God of your hope, or the God of hope, the King James has the God of hope. But here it says here, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and overflowing with hope. Now, for years, I had no joy. I had no joy in my walk with God. Believe it or not, I appreciate being saved from hell, the whole thing. I've always appreciated being saved. I've never wanted to go back to my vomit. I've never wanted to go back to the world. I've always loved the Lord ever since. I didn't know the Lord before I got saved, obviously. But ever since, for years, I had no joy in my walk with God. Overall, I had no joy. Why? Because I walked by sight. I'll tell you, when you walk...
You didn't watch joy enough there.
Well, I didn't know joy back then. That's right. She's brought joy to my life. Yeah. She wrote something so good on my messenger today. It was so good. Thank you, sister. And you know what? I wasn't going to bring notes tonight. I was going to have my own notes. And then when you wrote that little notes, I made some notes for you. Because I know you always take my notes. But just because that little note you wrote on Messenger on Facebook, you know, you encouraged me. You know, you're all excited that you knew I was coming tonight. I said, I got to make her some notes. No, seriously, I'm just being honest with you. Okay? So I had no joy in my life. I really didn't. And the only reason I didn't, it's not because I wasn't joyful about my salvation, is because I was walking by sight. I was not walking by faith. But when you walk by faith, you walk in expectation, that'll give you joy, because you know that you know that you know. That's what expectation is. You know that you know that you know that God is going to eventually perform what He's promised you. That's the whole point of Romans 4:17. It says in verse 21 there, Romans 4:21, it says, being fully persuaded, that's faith, that God is able to perform what He has promised Abraham. And that's, I'm not quite there yet in a couple areas, but I'm getting there. I'm working on that every day, coming to the place where I'm fully persuaded that God is able to perform what He has promised me. Okay? So my expectation is being built. My faith is being built. As long as I stay in the Word and I keep my eyes, I don't deny what's going on in the world. I don't deny my circumstances, but I don't allow those circumstances to dictate to me. Okay? Because I'm part of a new creation. I'm part of the kingdom of God. God is my Father. Right? He's our Father. The God of the universe. Amen. The one who brought this whole universe into existence out of non-existence. He's your Father. Okay? So all things are possible to what? To God, but all things are possible to who? To them who believe. To them who expect. All right? Expectation is a force. All right. Let's move on. Where are we here? 1 Corinthians 13:7.
Love bears up anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. It hopes.
Its hopes are faithless.
Faithless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening.
That's what I'm saying right here. Hope, expectation. When you have the hope of God working in your soul, not in your spirit, right, Rose? We're recreated in spirit, but it's our soul, right? That has to be transformed to His image, right? It's the soul of man. Okay, it's the soul of man that we got to work on. That's where you got to build the faith of God. That's where you got to build the hope of God, the expectation of God in the soul. The soul is the part of you that connects you with the sense realm, right? If we didn't have a soul, we couldn't communicate to one another. The soul is made up of the what? The will, the mind, the will, and the emotions, and the intellect, okay? So the will is a big part of you connecting with your sense realm, because it's part of your will. It's part of your desires, right? It's part of what you see. All right? So that's the part of you that has to be transformed to the place where you expect what God has promised you. All right? So that's why it says here, hopes are fadeless. Fadeless under all circumstances, no matter what. I remember I was just praying, my parents were gone too. The minute my parents would leave the house, I'd start walking. I'll tell you, Karen, you think I'm loud? I'll tell you, I can be loud. Anyhow, you should have heard me at the dentist's office the other day. Whew, they all left the office except for me and that my dentist from Iran. They all left. Anyhow, so I was walking the floor. I was just praying in tongues. And I finally asked the Lord. I was looking outside. I was all caught up with my circumstances, still living at home, blah, 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 blah. And I said, when will I know when I'm in faith? That's what I asked him. I said, when will I know when I'm in faith? And God spoke to me right away. And he said, when you're no longer moved by what you see. And I was being moved by what I saw. Everything. I was moved by everything. Everything was moving me. You know, I was getting upset over this. I was getting upset over that. No faith, no expectation. Okay? And another time, he told me not too long after that concerning faith, he said, okay, when you're no longer moved by what you see, and he says, when your circumstances become irrelevant. Irrelevant. Not relevant. Irrelevant. And my circumstances were relevant. Meaning my circumstances were more real than the Word of God, and my circumstances were more real than the promises of God. They were relevant. God's Word was irrelevant. But I had to switch that around. I had to work on that. I'm still working on that in some areas. That's the soul. That's the soul. The part of your soul, the part of you that does not believe, the part of you that does not expect, the part of you that does not have the faith of God is the soul, not the spirit, once you're born again. All right. Let's move on here to 1 Corinthians 13:13. Nice and loud.
And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love.
My mom said to me, she goes, the greatest of these is love, Pierre. It's not faith and hope. I said, yeah, but it doesn't say no hope and no faith. It just says love. And I'm still working on that one. But that doesn't negate hope, faith and hope. He didn't say faith and hope is not important. He just says the greatest of these three is love. But don't throw the baby with the bathwater. Don't throw the faith and the expectation. Right? Okay? All right, let's move on. 2 Corinthians 10:15.
We do not boast, therefore, beyond our proper limit over other men's labors, but we have the hope and the confident expectation that our faith continues to grow. Our field among you may be greatly enlarged, still within the limits of our commission.
All right, so I like the Amplified here. I love this word here, confident expectation. Remember I said the word, one of the definitions for the word hope was confidence. So in Romans 4:21, it says, that even the King James, New King James, but it says that Abraham became fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Not just persuaded. Persuaded is strong, but it says fully persuaded. Okay? Abraham had not always been fully persuaded about the promise, because if he had been, he would have never done what he did with Hagar and to have an Ishmael. Okay? So there was a time where Abraham was not fully persuaded. Okay? But Abraham had to come to that place of being fully persuaded that God was able to perform what he had promised him. He had to come to that place. And we have to come to that place. Just because you are not fully persuaded does not mean you cannot become fully persuaded. Okay? That brother, for 6 months, okay? Obviously, a lot of people don't believe this, but I shared this when I got here. When you shared that with me, a lot of people don't understand that that man, or a lot of other people that went through that whole season of sowing the word, that when you begin to sow the word of God, you're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it because you're going to believe your circumstances, what you see, what you hear. You're going to believe that more than the word of God. But once that word has taken fully root, we talked about this on the way here, assimilating the word. It's part of the word growing as a seed. Germination, assimilation. It's something we hardly hear. I heard, you know, God began to teach me this years ago with our brother Dave Robeson out of Tulsa, talked about assimilating the word. And I had never heard about that before. How to sow the word to the place where the word begins to germinate inside of you, where you're assimilating the word on the inside of you. That's what the parables of the sower is all about in Mark 4, 26 to 32, where it talks about the blade, the grain, the whole thing, the process of the growth of the seed, right? In Mark 4, all right? So that's very important. Just because you're not there today, it doesn't mean you can't be there tomorrow, or in a week from now, or 2 weeks from now, or even a year or 2 years, whatever. It depends how much you put into it, you know? So let's move on here. Confident expectation, that's very important here. Galatians 5:5.
For we, not relying on the law, but through the Holy Spirit's help, by faith anticipate and wait for the blessing and the good for which our righteousness and our right standing with God, our conformity to his will in purpose through the inaction causes us to
hope, to expect. Okay, so faith and hope once again. All right, let's move on. Last page. Go ahead, Colossians 1:23.
And this he will do, provided that you will continue to stay with and in the faith in Christ, well-grounded and settled and steadfast, not shifting or moving away from the hope which rests on and is inspired by the glad tidings, the gospel which you heard and which has been preached, as being designed and offered without restrictions to every person under heaven, and of which gospel I, Paul, became a minister.
So here we have the word hope in the faith, and from the hope which rests. And you know what? This is something, before we move on here. In 2008, I had been going for quite a while, because I had left my job in 2007, and I was spending a lot of time at the embassy, the big church on Taunton, in Oshawa. And I go spend the whole morning there, and I come home, get a bit of rest. Sometimes I go back for the afternoon, and then I go back sometimes at night, just to spend time speaking the word, praying in tongues, seeking the Lord. And then I came home, this was in the afternoon. I was planning on going back out there, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I want you to go to so-and-so's place. I've known these people for quite a few years. I hadn't seen them in a few years. I did not want to go, but I went to. I'm glad I went, because for a year and a half after that, the Lord really used that time with these two brothers to minister to me, to encourage me concerning my calling, the whole thing like that, because I was not getting a lot of encouragement in the natural. That's where something too I find greatly missing in the natural. Even among brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm not talking about false encouragement either. If you got sin in your life, we need to deal with the sin. If you got, you know, whatever. But one of the things that I find missing in the church is encouragement, true encouragement, godly encouragement, spiritual encouragement, you know? And so one of the times we go over there, we spend a lot of time fellowship, but we spend a lot of time praying together too. And one of the words that the Lord gave us one night was, he gave us this word rest, concerning rest. And I had no rest in my life. I was starting to a little bit, but this was a year after I quit my job. So I still didn't know a lot about faith. And the Lord spoke to us. He said, rest speaks louder to me more than anything else. Now, when he gave that word, it didn't really make sense to me, but I sought the Lord on that. And then the Lord clarified it to me. When you're full of faith, when you're full of expectation, confident expectation, when you're fully persuaded that God is going to do what he's promised you, however, whenever, with whoever, don't matter. When you know that 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 God is going to do, perform, bring into existence what he's promised you, there's a rest. There's a rest inside of you. There is. There's a peace. You just know. I'm not talking about make-believe. I'm not talking about faking it here. Some people say, I've heard this before, which is wrong, fake faith, or fake it till you make it. No, don't fake nothing. Get the real deal, okay? But when you've got this expectation, this confident expectation, this fully persuaded, this confident expectation built on the inside of you, there's a rest. There's a rest because you know that God is faithful, right? That's what it says in Hebrews 10:23. Holding fast to the confession of your faith without wavering, because God is faithful to his promise. Okay? That's why I don't let go of the promises of God, because I know that one day I'm going to be fully persuaded, and that I know that I know that I know that God is going to perform what he's promised me. God does not give you a promise so that you can go around and just wish that it comes to pass and he doesn't perform it for you. No, God's not like most human beings. I tell people all the time, I've had guys from Africa, they say, well, you promised me. I said, I promise you? I don't promise nobody nothing. I don't, because it's not because I can't keep my promises, but I don't promise nobody nothing, okay? I usually say, well, I could maybe try to do that. We'll see down the road, whatever. But I'm not like a lot of these preachers that make promises, and they don't hold fast to their promises. But God, if there's one person who holds fast, who's faithful to his promises, it's God. Because if he's not, we're in trouble. We're in big trouble, especially when it comes to eternal life. I'll tell you, just think of this. I was thinking about this the other day. When I pass from this life, I'm going to be 57 in a month and a half, April 6th. I'm going to be 57. I don't feel it, whatever. It's not part of my life. I don't even think about my age, but, you know, it's part of my life. It's part of life. But I was just thinking about this the other day. I said, Lord, I am trusting you that when I die physically, not spiritually, because I'm alive spiritually, when I die, I'm putting my full confidence that you're going to get me into heaven and I'm not going to go to hell. That's powerful. That's talking about putting your faith in somebody who's faithful. Okay? I am fully persuaded that when I pass from this life, whether it's Jesus or an angel, the Holy Spirit, whatever, that he's going to make sure that I make it into heaven, because he's my Savior. I put my trust in him as my Savior, right? Okay? That's powerful. It really is. All right? So let's move on here. 1 Thessalonians 1:3? No.
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead.
Recalling unceasingly before our God and Father your work energized by faith, and service motivated by love and unwavering hope in the return of our Lord Jesus Christ.
There you go. So the return, we're talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking about this on one of my videos about the rapture. You know, everybody's, not everybody, but a lot of people are waiting to be raptured right now. Okay, because of what's happening in the world. Well, I said, you better be right. Well, I think they're all wrong concerning the pre-trib. I don't know where you're at with the trib. Where are you at with the trib? Are you into the pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib?
I don't worry about any of them.
I'm not saying you worry. I said, where are you at? Where are you at? Do you believe in a pre-trib or mid-trib or post-trib?
Yes, yes, and yes, and yes.
Well, that don't make sense. It's one or the other. So anyhow, I said...
God gave me an A, B, and C choice when I'm on the way up.
Oh, okay. Well, all I said, if the pre-trib, if the pre-trip don't happen, a lot of people, their expectation is in vain, okay? You can have expectation in vain. You can have false expectation. And that's what I was talking about a few minutes ago, about eliminating all fooling yourself, deceiving yourself. I'm not into deceiving myself. I'm not into deceiving anybody else. I'm not into deceiving myself. I want to know the truth. Okay? Whether it's concerning the rapture, I don't care when the rapture happens. All I know is I'm getting ready. If I've got to go through the tribulation, if I've got to go through half the tribulation, which is the mid-trib, then I'm going to get ready for it. If I've got to lay down my life, you know, in whatever form it's going to be, I got to get ready for that. This is a couple years ago. I was just walking down the stairs. My parents were home. I'm just going downstairs, the first flight of stairs. The Lord spoke to me, says, prepare for the worst. That's what he told me. Now, he didn't elaborate on that, but he said, prepare for the worst. So, you know, I'm not saying that he's called me to be a martyr, but all I know is if I'm called to be a martyr because of the way I am, my calling, I got a big mouth. I don't want, you know, I was telling David this. I said, I don't want to be one way at home and then be another way. I don't want to be all preachy in front of Christians, and then when I get in front of a bunch of Muslims or terrorists, that I shut up and become Mickey Mouse. Okay? I want to be Mighty Mouse wherever I'm at, if I can use that analogy. Okay? I don't want to be one of these preachers that gets all bold in front of the pulpit, and the minute he steps out of the building of a church building, he clams up because he's afraid. He's got the fear of man. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. I know I can be annoying sometimes. I know that. I know myself. I annoy myself sometimes. Okay? But I'd rather be loud with truth, you know, than being quiet because I have fear of what man could do to me. All right? Whether it's verbal abuse, whether it's physical abuse, I don't go looking for it, but it's in the Bible. It's Old Testament, New Testament alike. Okay? So that's part of being, you know, you're going against the grain. You're going against the culture, right? Even in the church today. My goodness, have you seen all the churches in the States? Churches are. I have nothing against the LGBTQ, whatever. I have nothing against those kinds of people. But I know that when they die, they're not going to go to the right place, okay? But we've got churches that are embracing all of this stuff. Okay? This is getting really serious. I can't even believe it. You know? I didn't even like that kind of stuff before I got saved, even though I was promiscuous. I was heterosexual, but I was promiscuous with girls. But I never liked the whole homosexual stuff. Like I couldn't figure out why does a guy want to be with a guy? I mean, why does a girl want to be with a girl? Like, I mean, guys and girls, they go together, right? The organs go together, you know, the male part and the female part, right?
Yeah.
It fits in. Not the other place, but the right place. So that's part of it. So let's move on here. 1 Thessalonians 5:8.
But we belong to the day, therefore let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love and for a helmet, the hope of salvation.
So here we have the breastplate of faith and the helmet, and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So here, we have faith as a breastplate and hope as a helmet. Now that brings us back into Ephesians 6, right? Talking about using your faith as a shield, right? And the helmet of salvation, that's mind renewal, right? So Paul is teaching us the armor of God here in different words, in a different way, different context. But faith is a breastplate and hope is like a helmet, the hope of salvation. But also hope of salvation is not only being saved from hell. Salvation, I've taught this here many times before, the word salvation is from the Greek word sozo. Sozo also has the idea of deliverance. It even has the word of prosperity, victory, all these different things like that. So when I read salvation, the hope, the expectation of salvation, we're talking about salvation from, or deliverance from hell, yes, but deliverance from disease, like our brother, our two brothers got, because they stuck to the word of God, right? Amen. They didn't deviate, right? They didn't get off, right? Okay, let's move on here. Hebrews 11:1, we're almost done here.
Now faith is assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, but being the proof of things we do not see, mm-hmm. and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as the real fact what is not revealed
to the senses. The senses, the sense realm, the circumstances. The sense realm is so real. You can't help it. We're surrounded by the sense realm. You know, the minute you talk to somebody, the minute you talk to somebody, the minute whatever, this is all part of the sense realm. You know, you can't get out of the sense realm. You'd have to die. You know, we are surrounded by the sense realm. But we're not to be governed by the sense realm. We're to be governed by the word of God. Okay? So here it says here, talks about, like I said, this is the one of the verses, well, this is the key verse that the Lord showed me years ago concerning faith and expectation. All right? So my final comment here, and then I'll have you read the last one, which is the one that you shared quite some time ago here. So I wrote here, final comment, final note, I wrote here, the faith of God, or the God kind of faith, godly faith, includes the hope of God. The God kind of hope, godly hope. Without this kind of hope, you do not have this kind of faith. Like I said, I'm not going to get over that. But hope and expectation are hand in hand. They're two powerful forces. They work together. Don't separate them. If you don't have expectation built on the inside of you, working on the inside of you, you're not in faith yet, but you can get there, all right? So my last verse here, and I'm just gonna, I add a little bit to it, just to add its forcefulness to it. So go ahead, Mark 11:23, the one that you read before, go ahead.
For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes, expects that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says.
Here's my final note. Being honest, once again, I went to the Lord had given me a sister to help me. This is quite a few years ago concerning typing and stuff like that. I didn't have computers back then. And that was I was going over there every Friday. She was helping me out. And that day, God gave me this huge word. And I don't have time to get too much into it, but it was pretty big concerning finances and concerning a vehicle. Believing it for it, not having to buy it. And so that night, I go to her place and all that. We're working. And I phoned a brother that I've been going to his place. This was a few years before that for prayer and stuff like that. And I shared that word with him. I phoned him and I said, I got to share this with you, Bob, this word that the Lord gave me today, these two words. And he said, wow, that's great, you know. After that, before I went back to work with the lady, the woman, the sister of ours, I went to the washroom. And the Lord spoke to me in the washroom and he says, are you fully persuaded that I'm able to do what I want to do? And at that moment, I said, yes. But the minute I said yes, I knew in my heart that it was no. But God already knew that. He already knew that. He heard my conversation with Bob, and that's what he says, are you fully persuaded that I'm able to do this? I said, yes, Lord. But the minute I said yes, Lord, in my heart, I knew I wasn't. You know, so that's how we got to be honest with ourselves. It doesn't change a promise. That promise is still good for today. I'm still sowing that word, okay, among many other words. So you got to be honest with yourself when it comes to faith. You got to know what the word says about faith. You got to know what the word says about expectation. It's going to change your walk with God, you know. And then when you start building this expectation on the inside of you, then you've got to protect that expectation. Okay, because the Bible, I've taught this before, Mark 4:19, a desire for other things creeps in and chokes the word. So you can choke your faith. You can choke your expectation. You can choke it. You can choke it. If you're not careful, you can allow circumstances to get to you. Okay, so we have to build your expectation and you've got to nurture it and you've got to protect it. You've got to protect your faith because it's the one thing that the devil is after, because it's the one thing that gets you saved from hell. It's the one thing that's going to get you healed. It's the one thing that's going to get you strengthened. It's the one thing that's going to get you prosperous. Faith is the avenue that God uses to work on this earth. That's all he's got to work with, because he's already done the work for us at the cross. There's nothing for us to add to the work, the finished work at the cross, but our faith. That's the only thing that God looks for. Without faith, you can't what? Please God. Okay? You want to please God? Walk, get some faith and walk by faith. Hallelujah! So, thank you for live streaming. Thank you for our audience. Thank you for those who are sending their comments. Positive comments, even the negative comments. That's okay. I understand. I've been there. So, but not too many. There's not a whole lot of them. They're pretty good. Yeah, they're pretty good.